Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Bear Tooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, all sorts of news to get to here this morning, starting with some stuff that came out on Friday afternoon. NBC Montana had a report about two illegal aliens sentenced to prison after stabbing two men in downtown Bozeman back in February. So another illegal aliens in Bozeman story. There was also an illegal alien busted in Billings, Montana, according to the ICE Salt Lake City Billings sub-office. They found an illegal alien who was convicted of felony possession of narcotics and DUI. ICE Salt Lake City says he will be deported ASAP. And then there's another story out of Great Falls, Montana, about an illegal alien who was arrested for stalking, resisting arrest, and obstructing a peace officer. That's out of Cascade County, Montana. And then if you heard the Montana State News Network update just about 20 minutes ago or so, there was like a van load of illegal aliens that they came across that were crossing illegally from Canada into Montana. So they appeared in federal court last week, I believe, in Great Falls as well. So my goodness, just all sorts of stories about illegal aliens crisscrossing Montana, but finally getting picked up thanks to the Trump administration. Another big story came out Friday. And is it just me, or did this one not get that much attention at all? So I don't know if this was Friday afternoon, it was about 2:15 on Friday afternoon. Breaking news alert from the New York Times. I'm surprised the New York Times even shared this breaking news. Wall Street erased losses from April's sharp sell-off as hope for trade talks dampened investors' tariff fears. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with us here every Monday. Evelyn, you'd think that story would have gotten more of attention. Any Wall Street losses have already been erased, already been made up for.
Yeah, I understand that people get nervous about, you know, the tariffs and everything, but you know, the situation that Trump talks about is real, and it's been there for a long, long time, and it has to be corrected at some point in time. And quite apparently, other so-called leaders weren't even going to talk about it, much less do anything about it. So I think we just kind of have to hold tough and hope that Trump's plans work out, because you know, I'm the first one to say, yeah, tariffs are nothing but a sales tax. Really?
Yeah, but it's just interesting that, like, okay, so whatever losses there were in April initially have already been made up for. And with all the fear campaign and the nonstop, you know, tariff fear porn in the local media, and then at least the New York Times sent out a breaking news alert about this story that the rest of the media is just ignoring it altogether. All right, more to follow with Evelyn Pyburn. Back to business right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mostly with cloudy skies and some periods of rain across the area today. High temperature readings will stay around 43 in Bozeman to about 50 in the Billings area. For tonight, with more rain showers expected, can mix with snow in some areas around Bozeman. Otherwise, the low temperature readings will stay around 32 in Bozeman to the upper 30s in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Trump's Meet the Press interview with Kristen Welker, which aired yesterday, was not confrontational, certainly not like the earlier sit-down with ABC's Terry Moran, when the president accused the veteran newsman of asking a stupid question and saying things that weren't true. Now, Trump did make some news on NBC by saying definitively this time that he will not seek a second term. And he gave Kristen Welker sort of a walk-and-talk tour of the glitter and gold of Mar-a-Lago. But here's what I thought was unfair. She asked him about complying with orders from the courts, most notably the Supreme Court. And the headlines all said, Trump, I don't know. Well, the full answer was, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. It will depend on what the Justice Department says. And that is very different. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, this might be a surprising headline to many people out there across the state of Montana, but apparently Billings, the city of Billings, Montana, has been named a top vacation destination. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. She's got that story in the print edition and then some new numbers when it comes to tourism in the hot sheet this morning as well. So, Evelyn, how did Billings, Montana get named a top vacation destination?
Well, apparently Google does this on a regular basis. They monitor searches that people do in relation to airline flights during the vacation summer months. And Billings came in number two as the highest number of searches was calculated. And they said that Billings was underrated as a tourism destination. And the reason, though, that the searches might have increased so much this year is the addition of new summer flights for Billings, which is also a good thing. But the report commented that Billings offers an authentic Montana experience surrounded by scenic views and a more down-to-earth experience. And it goes on to say that even though Billings welcomes over 2.6 million visitors each year, Billings still moves at a slower pace, more relaxed pace, and this allows travelers to blend in with locals and have an authentic Montana experience. And just think, we get to do this every day.
So, they better not be promoting slow drivers, though. It's like, okay, come on, stay right, buddy. Stay right if you're going to be slow driving, you know, because the rest of us got work to do while you're out here vacationing or whatever, right?
Right.
I did think it was kind of funny. So this was a Google listing or who yeah. came up with the online posting here? Because I kind of had to laugh here. It says Billings, Montana. Located at the base of the Rimrock Mountains. Those are not really mountains. I mean, the rims are cool and all, but they're not really mountains. I don't know.
Yeah, you know that whoever wrote that piece has never been to Billings.
I wonder if the reason why it's coming up in these search results here is, I wonder how much of that is because of Yellowstone National Park and maybe because, you know, things are getting so expensive in the Bozeman area that people are looking for other access points into Yellowstone. Maybe they rent a Airbnb in Billings and then pop into the park from there, go check out the Little Bighorn Battlefield, things like that. It kind of becomes the base camp in a way because people are looking for alternatives to what's become pretty expensive in the Bozeman area. That's what I just kind of wonder.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's how come the name that Billings being a trailhead is really very, very good because this is the starting point for all kinds of things you do in Montana and not just recreational and touring, but for business. You know, we have lots of business travel coming into Billings too. So Yeah, I think that that's exactly true.
Tourism numbers in particular, apparently this is National Travel and Tourism Week. What are some of the numbers that have been popping out to you, not just for Billings, but for the state as well?
Well, the Chamber of Commerce is touting this, and they put out a press release about this being the National Travel and Tourism Week. And they put out some numbers about how important tourism is to Billings. And they said, too, that Billings welcomes 2.6 million visitors every year. And they generate $621 million in spending, which accounts for the tourism, account for 20.8% of Montana's travelers in the entire state. Of that many, the 20% plus come to Billings. Billings has 55 hotels, hundreds of restaurants, and lots of other attractions. Billings is well equipped to host even more visitors, points out the Chamber of Commerce. And tourism benefits Billings by reducing the average tax burden for residents by over $930 per year. And tourism supports 1 in 12 Montana workers, contributing $1.5 billion in direct employee compensation through 48,000 jobs and $414 million in state and local taxes from non-resident visitors. So, you know, that's kind of a look at how important this industry sector is to our state.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, hold that thought. There's some more good news on the Montana front. Montana has apparently been named top for startups, best state for business startups. We'll get to that and more here after the break. Let me tell you about a great deal before we get to that, though. Great deal, YHIC, your home improvement company. They've got their big Memorial Day sale already going now until May 31st. And let me tell you about the deal they've got. It's an unbeatable deal, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. They've also got great financing right now. Zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. The Memorial Day sale runs now until May 31st, so don't miss out. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor, minimum of 4 windows. Call 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. And the Memorial Day sale goes until May 31st, but you better get in fast.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economics can be an obscure subject with dense terminology and arcane ideas. Well, like a lot of scientific disciplines, every now and then an idea gets popularized and spreads far beyond the small world of professional journals and seminars. One of these ideas is something called the Laffer Curve. Its simplicity is both compelling and problematic. Its essence is that how people react to taxes determines how much those taxes raise in revenues. At one extreme, people don't react at all, so that when you get, say, double the tax rate, you get double the revenue. At the other extreme, people react very strongly, cutting back on taxable activity so that hiking tax rates doesn't raise any new revenue at all. It works in reverse as well, and ever since the time of Reagan, many have pushed the notion that cutting tax rates will actually increase tax revenues, as people respond by working harder and growing the tax base. The problematic aspect of the Laffer Curve is it boils down to an empirical question. How much do people actually respond? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. May is ALS Awareness Month. Written out, it's amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, a progressive neurodegenerative disease that impacts nerve cells in the spinal cord and brain. And there's no cure. The ALS Association says motor neurons go from the brain to the spinal cord and then the spinal cord to muscles throughout the body, which governs movement and muscle control. The disease causes those neurons to degenerate until they die, which means the brain can't control movement anymore, leading to loss of ability to speak, eat, move, and ultimately breathe. The disease can progress at different rates, with some surviving 2 to 5 years from diagnosis, while others can live 5 to 10 years or longer. The average age of diagnosis is 55. It's commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease, becoming widely known in 1939, for ending the career of the beloved baseball player. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
100 bad hombres in 100 days. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I got a chance to catch up with Trump White House Deputy Communications Director Alex Pfeiffer this week on Montana Talks, looking at President Trump's first 100 days in office. We also got a chance to catch up with Senator Steve Daines on that very topic, talking about border security, a trade deal with India, and more. Full audio, find it on the Montana Talks app or go to MontanaTalks.com.
Under threat, it's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
As I continue my journey across Australia, part of the World Angus Forum, we are on the Angus Track Tour. Of course, we started in Sydney, and now we are in Tamworth, Australia, about halfway in between our Indian Point there in Brisbane. Jim Sitz at the Sitz Angus Ranch is attending this year's event.
Well, it's been awesome. I mean, the people that we have met on this Angus Track Tour is unbelievable. The hospitality that the Australians have showed us is second to none. I mean, I would encourage anybody to go on one of these tours and kind of see how other people, how they raise cattle, what their environments are like, what their challenges are like. One thing about that you're going to see is that a lot of their challenges are just like ours. The issues that they face with the metropolitan, issues, from metropolitan areas the challenges of taxes and logistics of in the cattle industry, they're very similar to ours.
While in Tamworth, Australia, we participated in the Angus Expo, the largest gathering of Angus cattle in Australia. We're on display and on the auction block, along with some competitive events like Camp Draft. If you've heard about it, you understand it. If you haven't, it's a mix between cutting and reining horse competitions. Hard to explain here on the radio. From Australia, I'm Lane Nordlund.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, another interesting story in the print edition of the Big Sky Business Journal. This is a report from the Center Square. Regulations. Federal regulations are worse than taxes, costing $16,000 per household. We can get to that and more. But first, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. This one's in the hot sheet here as well. Or actually, maybe it didn't make the hot sheet yet here. It's in the print edition as well. But Montana has been named Best State for Business Startups. A little bit more good news on the economic front.
Montana was number one in the highest score of business startups, which gauges the number of startups per 100,000 people, and they also gauged how the survival rate and how many can survive 10 years in business. And with over 4,800 startups, the report gave the state a startup opportunity score of 9.55, and I think 10 is the top there, so that's really good. The highest on the list for startups and a survival rate of 41%. Montana ranks first, followed by Oregon, Nevada, Utah, and Florida. And, this is really not something new for Montana. As far as I can recall, Montana has always ranked very high in entrepreneurship. And I've had interesting conversations over the years with different people about why that is. A lot of it, a lot of ideas was based on the fact that so many people in Montana come from farming backgrounds where, being on your own and independent was part of just learning how to survive in any respect. But I'm starting to think there's something more to it than that, because fewer and fewer people have farm backgrounds anymore, and yet Montana stays at the top. So there's something about the water or something that makes us good entrepreneurs here.
Well, let me get to a message here that came in on our Montana Talks app. This one came from Tater in Forsyth. She says, good morning. We all need to encourage Governor Gianforte not to veto House Bill 740 regarding PBMs, pharmacy benefit managers, underpaying pharmacies. The small independent pharmacies cannot afford to fill prescriptions at a loss. Remember, if pharmacies lose money, communities will lose pharmacies. So she's encouraging the governor to sign House Bill 740 regarding PBMs. Evelyn, what's your read on the legislative session, the income tax cut relief, the property tax cut relief? I'm assuming you're probably with the rest of us in wanting the governor to veto a lot of these massive spending bills.
Well, yeah, they increased the budget by 15%, and you know that's never going to come down. I mean, it becomes the benchmark for the next budget, and we had a huge surplus, so I guess they're just trying to spend it all. But they're not supposed to have a surplus, and to cut taxes is really what they should have done, because they're gathering too much in taxes, and and they weren't cutting taxes. I mean, the property tax cut is not a cut. It's a shifting of where they collect the taxes, from the primary home to businesses and farms and all kinds, or secondary residents. And one legislator pointed out that if you have a building on an adjacent lot to your home, the tax on it is going to increase. So it was not a tax cut, and that's really what they should have been doing. And I did notice a lot of them started talking about it and referring to the cut as a relief, tax relief. But it was only relief for some people. And, they really should have been cutting taxes if they're collecting surpluses.
Yeah, obviously, so residential property taxpayers will get relief. Income tax, all of us who work and pay income taxes will get a good chunk of relief. So that's a big win there. But yeah, the question is, how much of a hit will it be for agriculture or for some in the business community as well? When I've heard Speaker of the House Brandon Lear was on with me last week, and he said that some of the hits to agriculture, that the increases are being inflated in terms of some of the criticism that you're hearing about the property tax relief. But we'll see. Because I think a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, you've got a surplus, which means nobody should have to pay more. Everybody should be getting relief. Why does one side have to pay more so that another side can get the relief when you're sitting on a massive budget surplus? All right, Evelyn Pyburn, appreciate your updates as always. Make sure you sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal print edition and get the hot sheet in your email inbox ready every Monday morning as well. Always great to have Evelyn on. Yeah, the phone line's open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talk app as well. In fact, I just remembered, we got a great guest joining us here in just a few minutes, so call right now if you got something you want to talk about, and then we'll have more open phones time coming up in the 8 and 9 o'clock hours of the show today as well. One guy we haven't heard from yet is our friend Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity, Montana. He did a weekly legislative update with us during the legislative session, but this will be our first time catching up with him after the legislative session. So look forward to hearing from Henry next hour of the show. Okay, we were talking about the tax cuts at the state level, and of course that just reminds everybody of the need to get this one beautiful bill across the finish line to make the Trump tax cuts permanent, and what a boost for the economy that will be.
But what about the cost of federal regulations alone? This was something that was in the Big Sky Business Journal print edition here. A report from the Center Square. Federal regulations cost taxpayers trillions of dollars annually, with the average American household paying roughly $16,000 per year in hidden costs. The nonpartisan Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI, releasing its annual 10,000 Commandments report. It shows 10,000 commandments, not 10 commandments, 10,000 commandments. It shows that total compliance costs and economic effects of federal regulations exceed $2.1 trillion annually, with the Federal Register having issued 220,813 final rules since it first began itemizing in 1976. As a result, American consumers have faced higher prices and lost jobs due to businesses passing regulatory costs on to consumers. The average U.S. household, without realizing it, spends more on regulations than healthcare, food, transportation, apparel, and entertainment combined, according to CEI. In 2024 alone, federal regulatory agencies issued 3,248 final rules, while Congress only passed 175 bills or 19 rules for every law passed that year. The CEI report blames much of the surge on the Biden administration's energy, climate, and equity mandates. Wayne Cruz, the report's author, said this, quote, Washington regulations got worse under President Biden because his administration sought to impose progressive rules against energy and consumer appliances, labor, banking, online speech, and other sectors of the economy. According to CEI's analysis, companies with under 50 workers pay an average of $50,000 in per-employee regulatory costs versus $24,800 on larger firms. So basically, these regulations hit small businesses harder than they hit the larger businesses.
Hey, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great guest in the studio, back in studio with us here on Montana Talks. Shane West is the Chief Operating Officer for TDS Fiber, and I've actually been joking around with our friend Darren Olson. So we got TDS Fiber trucks all over the hood, and I'm like, hey, when's the neighborhood going to be ready for TDS Fiber? Shane West, great to see you. Thanks for popping in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to get back out here to Montana.
Yeah, I should talk about this with our, yeah, because you're based at, is it Wisconsin?
But we're based out of, just outside of Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, beautiful country there in Wisconsin. Had some good fishing and camping trips up north of there. And so yeah, a lot in common with the two states, with the outdoors. But, well, tell us first off how the build-out is going so far across Montana.
The build-outs are going great. We're actually quite a bit ahead of schedule. We've been really happy. February was a little rough weather-wise, so it slowed us down. But we're actually ahead of schedule in all of our markets. We're currently building out. We're building out in Missoula, Helena, Bend, Great Falls, and Billings, and starting to look at some other stuff too now that we're ahead of schedule. Feeling really good.
Yes. So how many homes by the numbers, what do the numbers look like here in Montana? I don't know if you've got any specific numbers in front of you.
So our current build plan, we're talking about 150,000 to start in the state of Montana. And then we're actually starting to look at how do we get past that and get even better and bigger in the state of Montana. This is actually a huge strategic priority for TDS.
So it's kind of a fun sidebar here, although it's not really a sidebar. This is an important point. So under the Biden administration, you know, they allocated, I think it was like billions of dollars to go towards broadband. Mm-hmm. And everybody's saying, whatever happened with any of that? And as far as we can tell, nothing happened with any of that. Yeah, you guys are doing all of your work right now, expanding broadband access here in Montana through private capital, as I understand.
Yeah, we're going to spend over $160 million in the state of Montana. Every single dollar is private capital, no government funding. This is all just us going in here saying there's an opportunity. There's no competition in the state of Montana, effectively. You've largely got cable monopolies or telco monopolies. We think we can win in this market all on private capital.
Very interesting. So describe kind of the work that's been done thus far and why you kind of have to start with the larger cities first, and then tell us what's next after that.
Yeah, so you absolutely do. So we're probably between 20 and 25% done, depending on the market. We're going to get to roughly, we'll see 150,000 addresses, like I said. You have to start in the densest areas because you got to build a hub site and you got to build a warehouse and get all those things. So you start with the most densest areas, go to the cities, and then you start to look at, what are the opportunities close, and you start to kind of edge out or spider out from there. We talked about it a little bit earlier. You think about a community like Laurel, right? Terrible internet, not great options. Does that make sense for us when we get done in Billings and you start to edge out in those kind of places?
And if I remember right, when it comes to Billings in particular, you started in the Billings Heights, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. Kind of that was the first place to start. And, of course, the Billings Heights is as big as Butte, Montana alone. Right. What's going on in just telecommunications in general all across the country right now? Because you talk about the need for more competition in Montana, just the need for basic. I mean, it's still amazing to me that I have listeners call into the show and they're driving across Montana and you get the, there's just still parts of the state that don't even have basic cell phone service. And so let alone bringing in, broadband.
Absolutely. One of the things that made this state attractive to us is besides the fact that we thought we could win, this state has the second slowest internet speeds in any state in the country. It's just ridiculous in terms of the state of Montana. But then you start to look at what's happening from an industry perspective. There's a lot of consolidation going on right now. And companies are they're buying up smaller companies, just trying to make themselves bigger. I mean, Verizon's buying Frontier. They're not a lot here. They're not in Montana. But there's a lot of consolidation going on. And this gives us the opportunity as an independent operator to come in here and provide better service and solve some of those kind of needs.
Just got a great note from our producer, Caden. He lives in the Billings Heights. He says, I love having TDS in my apartment. We were paying $100+ for internet before, and now we can afford to actually use our internet.
Well, hey, here I'll give you a little bit of a hint. So if you're an existing TDS customer, if you've got our broadband now, so you can go out. We're actually doing the mobile thing. So we actually are now, we're buying wholesale access from some of the biggest providers in the country, and you can actually go in. And if you're a TDS broadband customer, you can get mobile. And it's, if you got your own phone, we're just starting to wade into this a little bit, but if you got your own phone, it's under $30 for unlimited service. And if you're a low user on mobile, like your mom or your grandma or whoever, your kid, there's plans under $15. And so we're trying to bring competition to that market too.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, because it's amazing how little competition there is. And Billings is Montana's largest city, but Missoula, I was just looking at Montana population numbers the other day here. I think my friend Dan Stusik shared this a few days ago, and he was on the redistricting commission, so he knows, that kind of the Montana statistics and geography. So, but he shared this from an account called at TwizzyU on X. Montana grew 4.89% in population, so nearly 5% between 2020 and 2024. The largest percentage increase, was Broadwater County, south of Helena, which is up about 22.5%. The largest overall number increase was Flathead County, which was up 10,200. And so, anyway, that's just some interesting numbers there. But yet, yeah, when it comes to home-based internet, there's always been such few options. So what kind of dollar competitiveness does TDS bring for the consumer once you're able to move into a market?
So if you think about that, if you look at I'll just use Charter as an example. Charter, they've got a teaser rate, they do all those other things, but for a regular customer, you're paying just for internet alone, often $80, $85. You're coming in day one with TDS for roughly $50. So, and the service is going to be better. I'll tell you this, our slowest speed is equal to their fastest speed. And so you see how that lays out. Cost is right on. Speeds are better. It's more reliable. The other thing, I've got teenage kids, if you've got a gamer in the house, The difference between the internet that we're providing is based on fiber. Your download speeds and your upload speeds are the same. So if you're you've got kids who are gamers or you've got work from home at any amount, the service is so much better than you can get from cable.
Which, of course, anymore, it's all the above. For
absolutely.
For any family anymore, you've typically got somebody working from home or you're catching up on projects from home. Then you may have a kid playing some games and everybody's on some sort of device at some point. You know, some of our listeners have asked me, and this may not apply so much in a city like Missoula or Billings, for example, but maybe more for the people that are really, really out there in rural areas, which is, okay, now there's Starlink satellite internet. So if you live way out in the sticks, you can just put a Starlink dish up, right? But why does wired broadband still matter when you have satellite options available?
So I actually have a cabin in northern Wisconsin, and I have Starlink, so I can speak to both sides of this. Starlink service is great, and that company has done amazing things to bring serviceable broadband to places that literally had no options. But the difference between what fiber offers and what Starlink offers, besides the cost, you know, Starlink starts at about $120 a month, so it's not a cheap date. But the issue is always going to be the download speeds and the upload speeds are fine, but where that breaks down is latency.
So that's what I was going to ask about. So somebody like me who does a live radio show, one of these days I want to be doing a live. I mean, I love the view right now, don't get me wrong, but one day I want to be at a cabin somewhere doing a live radio show, right? And so, but latency is where the satellite would pin me up.
Right. So you know, I want a video conference for my cabin in northern Wisconsin. If you've ever seen like an old-time movie, a military movie, where they're having a communication over the radio and they have to say over or out, that is a factor of latency. So when you're using a satellite connection, it's actually shooting your traffic up into a satellite and then communicate it to a downstream station somewhere else. And it takes time for that that internet traffic to come around. And that's that thing that happens. You actually have to wait for that internet traffic to go across the satellites to get to you. So like when I'm having a video conference on a satellite connection, I have to be really, really confident that the person I'm talking to is done. And it's really difficult to do from a gaming perspective. If you got somebody doing the online gaming thing, if that's all you have, that's all you have, but it's not the greatest solution.
Shane West is the Chief Operating Officer for TDS Fiber on the ground in Montana. What are you doing this week? What else do you want to tell our listeners across Montana?
I'm actually here. I'm kind of like winging a little bit of a work trip. My daughter loves Montana. She wants to be a park ranger. She's a student at Montana State.
Hey, cool.
And so she and I were out doing a little bit of fly fishing. I had to coach her. She needs to get out there and make sure she's got her bear spray because she went out without her bear spray.
Oh, man.
Big Sky, and all of a sudden her vehicle has a fair amount of bear traps around it as they were kind of nosing around. But I'm actually here. My daughter's getting her finals done. Now we're going to move her back home for the summer, and then she'll be back out here in the fall. She loves this place.
Well, that's awesome. Very cool. And yeah, congratulations on that front. Little business with pleasure at the same time.
Absolutely.
That's what we love about Montana. Kind of ties in with that whole remote work thing as well. Shane West, great to see you. Thanks for dropping in.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
Fox News Commentary.
Legendary coach Bill Belichick's girlfriend is the Meghan Markle of sports. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Simon Owen in London.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. Listen and follow the Fox News hourly update at foxnewspodcasts.com or ask your smart speaker to play Fox News.
Legendary football coach Bill Belichick and his much younger girlfriend Jordan Hudson, age 24, are the talk of the internet this week. By now, you've seen the viral clip from CBS Sunday Morning wherein Belichick's interview was hijacked by his girlfriend, who is awkwardly monitoring the whole thing off to the side. When the interviewer asked Belichick about his relationship with Hudson and how they met, well, she abruptly interrupted and announced it was not to be talked about. After the fallout, Belichick, along with the University of North Carolina, put out a joint statement to smooth it over. In summary, Belichick thought he was just going to be asked about his book and thought it out of bounds for the interviewer to ask about his highly talked about relationship with a 24-year-old, even though he brought the 24-year-old to the interview and allowed her to basically run it. What irks me is when public figures beg for the spotlight and then get mad when they are in the spotlight. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mostly with cloudy skies and some periods of rain across the area today. High temperature readings will stay around 43 in Bozeman to about 50 in the Billings area. For tonight, with more rain showers expected, can mix with snow in some areas around Bozeman. Otherwise, the low temperature readings will stay around 32 in Bozeman to the upper 30s in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montanans are one step closer to getting significant income tax relief. I've spoken with both Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, and Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. They both believe the governor will sign this income tax relief bill into law. Check out the details, what it means for you and your pocketbook. We've got that story and much more. MontanaTalks.com. Plus, full audio breaking
our great offers and really attractive financing options right now. Renewal by Anderson Windows and Entry Doors. Isn't it time?
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, did any of you guys watch the Kentucky Derby over the weekend? I did not watch the Kentucky Derby, but I got the news alert after the race was won. And I just had to laugh. Apparently, I wasn't the only one who thought this was funny. I know this will prove to you, if you didn't know this already, that I'm a nerd. I get the Kentucky Derby results in, and I think it was a New York Times alert. Maybe it was a Fox News alert. I think it was a New York Times alert. But the alert was something to the effect of the results. So the winner of the Kentucky Derby, it was on the let me just read from the Daily Caller here. It was a rough day for journalism again. Only this time, it wasn't about collapsing ad revenue, newsroom layoffs, or plunging public trust. It was on the track when a horse named Journalism was narrowly beaten by long shot Sovereignty at the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Leading sports writers, right-wing influencers, and fans to have the pleasure of typing, Journalism loses to Sovereignty. Yeah, the moment I got that news alert, I sent out a post on X, from just before 6 p.m., on Saturday. I was at a volleyball tournament in between games, so I figured, why not send out a little post on X here? So Sovereignty beats Journalism. America first again. But apparently everybody started having that initial reaction because social media lit up with headlines like this. Journalism with another loss. Sovereignty beats Journalism. And the death of journalism now on horseback. The symbolism wasn't lost on anyone. A horse named Journalism leading the pack only to be overtaken at the finish line by Sovereignty. It practically writes itself. Stephen Miller had a great post on X about this, probably about 2 or 3 minutes after I shared my post. But, you know, that's what's funny about social media is sometimes you think you have some unique response to something. And it's like, no, you start to realize, like, there's a lot of other people out there who had the same reaction you did when you heard the news update. I mean, that's what was so great about Rush Limbaugh. That's why Rush Limbaugh had such a great show, is because Rush wasn't telling you what to think. Rush was giving you the permission to vocalize what you already believed.
Rush was just saying what you already believed. Rush was saying what you saw. Rush had the reaction you had. He just had a great way of saying it. And it was kind of like during all the COVID stupidity, the lockdowns and the mandates. Everybody knew it was BS. Everybody knew it was garbage. But there were only a few of us initially willing to speak up and speak out. And then the more we spoke up and we spoke out, the more everybody else started saying, well, yeah, I agree. Yeah, this is stupid. What are we doing? It was just so funny. You'd go to the gym and you'd be with non-political type people at the gym. And it was like initially people kind of walk on eggshells and they're like, oh, and then eventually they'd be like, oh, yeah, everybody thinks it's stupid. The mandates and the lockdowns and all that stuff. President Trump, Brian Kilmeade, had a feature on Fox Nation over the weekend talking about all of the media interviews and the media hostility and the failure of journalism, not on the track, but on the TV, in the newspapers, the failure of journalism across the board.
It's the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all.
It's like Rodney Dangerfield, President Donald Trump gets no respect from the big networks. Still, now I thought after the profound win in November, the sequel would be a little bit different. The legacy media would understand that 2016 was not a fluke and his historic comeback would lead to a traditional presidential deference treatment. Remember, Trump term one, the media couldn't believe that he won. They couldn't accept it.
And yet they still try to keep up with him. They still try to run with him. They still try to beat him. And yet, journalism keeps losing because the journalists keep bashing Trump and backing the America Last Democrats.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economics can be an obscure subject with dense terminology and arcane ideas. But like a lot of scientific disciplines, every now and then an idea gets popularized and spreads far beyond the small world of professional journals and seminars. One of these ideas is something called the Laffer Curve. Its simplicity is both compelling and problematic. Its essence is that how people react to taxes determines how much those taxes raise in revenues. At one extreme, people don't react at all, so that when you get, say, double the tax rate, you get double the revenue. At the other extreme, people react very strongly, cutting back on taxable activities so that hiking tax rates doesn't raise any new revenue at all. It works in reverse as well, and ever since the time of Reagan, many have pushed the notion that cutting tax rates will actually increase tax revenues, as people respond by working harder and growing the tax base. The problematic aspect of the Laffer Curve is it boils down to an empirical question. How much do people actually respond? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.